As a millennial who has grown up in the post 9/11 era, I too became jaded by the world around me. Though I studied political science and homeland security at university and excelled at it, I felt as though my path had come to an end upon graduation, becoming conscious of the fact that I couldn't understand the corruption of the world, let alone try to change it. It wasn't until a friend took me out for coffee one day and everything changed. It was 3 years ago. I was content at my new work, a young author trying her hand at illustrating and tapping into her creative side. I was finally freed of the world's suffering, and instead, I got to live in my own imagination, filled with colors and rainbows and everything one could ever dream of. And then this friend ruined that. At the cafe, she talked to me about Yemen. She scolded me for living in my own bubble, and when I got angry about it, she left me with three haunting words. She left me with three haunting words. See for yourself. That night, I couldn't sleep. I tossed and I turned, thinking about what she said. Was it true? Were children really starving in Yemen? Was America responsible? So at 4 a.m. that night, I went on Google and I typed in, "What is happening in Yemen?" And as a force of habit, I looked at what all the independent media outlets were saying about it, and I was shocked. I choked back tears. I tried denying it. I even justified what I'd found. And then came the second guessing. Who was I to do this kind of work? I'm a nobody. I'm a simple person. And even if I wanted to change the situation, I couldn't do anything about it. I had my own problems to deal with. So this jungle went on in my heart for a couple weeks until I came across a video of Manar Muhawish of Mint Press News. She was a young Muslim hijabi woman, fearlessly talking about Yemen, about Palestine, about all the oppressed of the world, and I felt absolutely embarrassed. What am I doing with my life, I thought. For someone who has grown up a very shy student in the classroom, grabs the corner seat of every room, and can't make small talk for the life of her, I couldn't understand what pulled me to the forefront. What made me go back to school at Harvard? What made me start my own media organization? And what brought me to speak here today? Perhaps I saw myself in them, in that I could have easily been born into their situation, and that each one of us are put where we are for a reason. And this is when I knew that my newfound path in life would not be easy. In fact, it would be uncomfortable. It would be awkward. It would be full of unknowns. But it would be a compulsion. A compulsion to speak for those who could not speak for themselves. To understand what is happening in Yemen today, we must go back to where the story begins. In the 1900s, the British were attacking Yemen long before the Saudi even got there, which they did in the 1920s when they invaded Yemen's border and occupied its cities. This was known as Operation Decisive Storm, which then became, listen to this, Operation Restoring Hope. So in 1962, the country of Yemen gets caught up in a civil war, which makes it the perfect proxy battleground for Arab countries and European allies. Here, Yemen is getting infiltrated with Al-Qaeda, Saudi, Al-Qaeda and ISIS fighters, known as ACAP, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. This largely foreshadows what is happening in Yemen today. So, local Yemenis by now are getting very, very sick of all the foreign intervention, the corruption, the oppression, the poverty, and most importantly, the extremist Wahhabi ideology that was being shoved down their throats. And like this, protests ensue, And in 2011, a major party known as the Houthis rise to power. Suddenly, in March of 2015, Saudi launches their attack on Yemen with the support of 8 Gulf countries, the United States, and the European Union. Here, the United States is providing logistics and intelligence to help carry out these aerial attacks. Apparently, the United States was told that all of this would be a cakewalk, but they weren't able to defeat the Houthis and instead get involved in a myriad of war crimes against a very poor country and made them suffer the loss of over 60,000 civilians and put over 23 million people into starvation. In fact, 23 million people are said to die by the end of this year, which is in the next 5 days. So, was all of this worth it for Yemen? Just as Moses overthrew Pharaoh, just as David challenged Goliath, just as Imam Hussein stood up to Yazid, so too did the people of Yemen rise up against Saudi Arabia, reticent of their oppression no more. The question isn't whether all of this was worth it or not for Yemen to stand against the most powerful armies of its time. Rather, it was an inevitable occurrence of a people rising against the tyrant Saudi Arabia. We've all seen the images. The images and videos covered with a crossed out eye, warning that this image or video is too graphic. A lot of these photos and videos of Yemen are also deleted upon being uploaded, social media citing a violation of their standards as being offensive, they say. But isn't it offensive for us to withhold the sharing of truth? Isn't it offensive for us to eschew paying tribute to those whose lives are unjustly taken? And isn't it even more offensive that our government directly partakes in this genocide, yet champions itself as the savior of democracy and freedom? The Saudi coalition has intentionally targeted all of Yemen's food and agriculture supply, blockaded all of its lifeline ports, and made it impossible for them to get food, clean water, access to medicines, especially in the face of a cholera epidemic. For the past 3 years, my brain has been on overdrive, trying to understand how and what is happening in here. How is all of this legally sanctioned by our government, who controls how people have to live and how people have to die? We must also recognize the media portrayal of Yemen in a negative light. Recent TV shows like Jack Ryan and Hollywood films like Traitor all portray Yemen to be this hotbed of terrorism. And we must be even more careful to paint the United States government as a moral hero when it has been fueling this genocide since 2015. And though this situation seems to be entangled into a million different complications, there is always light at the end of the tunnel, and where it all goes largely depends on us. Each of us have our own talents to offer. It can be in the form of writing, creating videos, making art, or even talking to people and our own families on our breakfast table. Activism isn't always blasting on megaphones. It can be quiet and creative as well. We also must know where our hearts truly lie. When we express solidarity with Yemen on social media, are we just trying to make ourselves feel better? Or do we acknowledge that there is a person behind that story, with real emotions, with real thoughts, with a real beating heart? When we use hashtags to express solidarity, only to forget about it when it stops being important, isn't change. Because true change is consistent. We must be the captain of our own truths and not let trends shape our thoughts and our actions. We can also try to understand how this military-industrial complex thrives and how it has become the basis of this Western economy. We must actively boycott these military companies who are shedding innocent blood. And we need to stop working for them entirely. And we can also support Yemen monetarily. And lastly, brothers and sisters, most importantly, we need to understand that the powers that be have done a great deal to tear apart the Muslim world. They've used extremism as machinations to further us from one another. And we as Muslims, no matter what our sects, we're closer to each other than our own souls. We must recognize this, open our eyes, and come together before it is too late. Unity is our only salvation. And though I try to do all of these things, I'm still awash with waves of guilt. I open the fridge and I have so many options to choose from. I spend my days enjoying time with friends and family, but I have these pangs that never leave me. The images that I've seen, like the ones you've seen, like the image of the father sitting next to his two dead children, Images that remind me of my own children. They've changed me. They've gutted me. They've broken my heart. But all of this is necessary for revolutions to be born, where we risk all that we love for what we hold true, so that mankind can move forward. Today, we're driving this conversation on Yemen, but tomorrow, we're acting, we're liberating, we're encouraging humanity to go further. Because after all, what is an ocean but a multitude of drops?